streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Roy and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening, and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes. As we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight, so stay tuned in to the hottest radio show worldwide.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the building with Rob and Lucinda Boyd. We do this thing major for 8 years, and we study moving forward 2017. We got a great show for you tonight, and we got our main man in the building tonight, Senator Steve Smith, and we're here to talk about a few things, a lot of great things that's going on in Arizona, but also some community relationships as well. So without further ado, we're going to bring our main man on the line. Hey, hey, how you doing, Senator Smith?
Rob and Lucinda, how are you?
We beautiful
doing good.
Today,
how are you?
Senator. How you feeling today?
I'm doing great. It's an honor to be on. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, it's an honor to have you on, Steve. We're going to cut straight through the chase, and we're going to ask you a few questions, Steve. What made you get involved with the Streets Don't Love You Back in this prison reform that you put together with the DOC, Charles Ryan?
Yeah, that's an easy answer. You. You know, I met the two of you quite some time ago, and right away in meeting you can find out that you two are two very passionate people about a very worthwhile cause, about saving people. And, you know, that's what God put us on earth to have a relationship with him and to help people. And you two embody that. And so when I met you, however long ago it was, you know, you could see in your eyes and you feel in your heart that this is something that you care deeply about, that you were very knowledgeable about everything dealing with this. And you two are two of the best people that could help people that find themselves in a little bit of trouble or potentially in trouble. And so, after meeting you two, it was easy for me to do anything that I could to try to help. But you two are the driving force. You two have done it. You have accomplished so much in such a little time. Even though you've been at it for years, I mean, it's what you've been able to accomplish is incredible. So, after meeting you, I felt like I had to do something. How couldn't I? and of course, being from Michigan too, we need to help on that level.
No doubt, Steve, and I appreciate that, you know. And what we would like to state to Senator Steve Smith tonight, we're more than honored to have him on our show tonight. And most of all, we love the passion that he brings to this table of our great state of Arizona as well. Like he said, me and him are both from Michigan, but we start from where we live at now, and that's our great state of Arizona. And we will work our way around the country until our own state of Michigan as well with this prison reform that's going on. And it's a one-step-at-a-time thing, and we just honored that Steve made that approach to the DOC. But, Steve, let the people know of Arizona, what are you working on now and the things that they'll be looking forward to come here in the state?
Well, you know, our legislative session just started last week, and oddly enough, it's, you know, I wrote a bill last year that the governor signed that has been implemented already that has to do with cutting down on recidivism in our prison. So, you know, I don't need to tell you this, but maybe your listeners will learn something. It's, you know, when somebody goes in, especially if they go in with a habit, you know, they've got a drug and they've got something, when they come out, 9 times out of 10, it's the same or as worse as when they went in. And unfortunately, when they come out, they've got that scarlet letter, you know, that they wear that says felony. And so every time you go to apply for a job, if they want to get on the straight and narrow, it's hard to get a job because it's hard to hire a felon. And lots of times these people just revert back to what they know best, which in many cases is crime, and that's why they go right back in. And so we wrote a bill last year to kind of help some of these people get out a little bit earlier. They have good behavior, put them in a rehab, put them in a, you know, society reentry program to get them a job. And this year I said, you know what, rather than trying to get them on the way out, why don't we get them on the way in? And that's part of what your program does, certainly. But this is the case that if you're arrested, and this is my bill this session that I'm going to be running, that if you're arrested and we know that that the overwhelming number, majority of people that are in our prison or jail system are there on drug offenses. Now, I'm not talking drug dealers. I'm talking, you know, you get pulled over, you got a little extra something that you shouldn't have in your car, and you're going to jail type thing. You know, usually non-violent offenders, just drug offenders. And I said, well, why don't we try to rehab them before they go in rather than when they come out? And so, of course, you might have heard of the drug called Vivitrol. It's a shot that you get, an injection that makes one pretty violently ill if they ever go back on their drug of choice. So it's a pharmaceutical that helps prevent these people from enjoying, let's say, some of these drugs. And so my idea was, when they're faced with jail term, and they said you can go in jail for a year or 6 months or a year and a half or whatever it is, or take this shot. We don't want your body having this drug in your system anymore, you know, your drug of choice. And we want you in intense rehab, outpatient rehab, you know, so you don't have to live there, but we want you going, we want you getting better. And if you successfully go through those steps, we'll just make like this arrest never happened. You don't get the felony on your account, right? You've kicked your habit, okay? And now you get that second chance a lot of people ask for. And the reason I think that's important is, number one, yeah, I think it actually will help people rehabilitate. If you can get them off of their drug, off their illegal narcotic, that's a good thing. If you can get them a good job and get them reintegrated in society, that's a good thing. But then if they don't go into the prison system, that's a good thing too. We all know about overcrowding in our prison. And so the state can actually save money by saving people's lives. And so it's a win-win for everybody. So that's a piece of legislation I'm looking at this year. And I hope, especially with your help, Robin, that we can get that over the finish line and actually help people going in rather than coming out. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people have to go in, you know. You know, there's just no way. Mm-hmm. Some people have to go in because that's just the way it is. And those you want to help coming out. But if we can stop a lot of those people going in and catching them right at that point where their life might take that perilous turn, that's what we want to do.
And that's what's happening, Senator. We really appreciate that, because I remember in the first meeting that me and you had, you had talked to me and spoke to me about that. And, you know, me and my wife, as you know, we're very big advocates on prison reform and helping people not go to prison that don't need to go to prison. But once again, like you said, some have to go to prison and have to learn that no is no and yes is yes. You know what I'm saying? And even when you get to the prison system, we still going to give you another shot, and that's with the Streets of Love You Back Intervention Program. Now you're getting educated. You're sitting still for a while, as long as your time is there. But hopefully you'll come back out, make the right choices, and do the right thing, because then you ain't going to be able to tell Senator Smith or the judge, oh, I didn't know, because they know you already went through the program. So they know you know right from wrong now, you know? So you can't use I don't know anymore. So that's something I want to thank you for as well, and giving these people a chance with this program right here. And me and my wife definitely would like to speak on that on the committee as well, because I think that's something that can help people that actually use drugs get a grip on life and understand that you don't need them drugs that's killing you. We need something that's going to give you a better mind frame. Is that correct, Steve?
Amen. You know, and when you think about it, prison is supposed to keep society safe from somebody who's doing something bad, right? And I don't care if that's white collar crime or murder, right? You know, our jails are supposed to keep society safe and remove dangerous people from society. I mean, that's the point of it. What we see a little bit too often is it's almost like a former. We use it as a form of discipline sometimes, or a form of punishment, you know, rather than keeping their society safe. And that's why I think when you see the amount of numbers that you see in our jails and in our prisons of what many have said and admit to is nonviolent crime. So society itself is not, you know, negatively impacted per se in many cases. Well, those people we want to try to help, you know, and so that's where I think the difference comes in. And yeah, absolutely. Well, we'd love to have you both come down and testify in committee. You know, I have the honor of being the Senate chairman of the Commerce and Public Safety Committee. So anything in the state dealing with our economy and law enforcement and corrections and border security, you name it, comes through my committee. And so we get a chance to impact, I think, Arizona for good. And that's an area for sure that I think will help have a good impact on our state.
And that is definitely correct, Steve. That will definitely have a great impact because safety first with our great state of Arizona. That's number one. Education sits side by side with safety. And if we don't keep our state of Arizona safe, well, then what good is education if the society is not safe? So we have to educate and keep our great state safe as well. And those two go hand in hand. Like a straw in a glass of water. Is that correct?
That's right. And, you know, and when you talk about keeping us safe, well, whose job is that? Well, that's police. And so we've got to make sure our law enforcement has everything that they need to properly but fully enforce the law. And again, I want to thank you and your wife because the state of Arizona was the first in the nation to have a statewide hopeful answer to some of the problems that we see in the nation with people and law enforcement clashing. And so what we did, just think about a month ago or so ago, Rob, was we bought this high-end 21st century technology for a police training system to help police, number one, train to be better cops. It gives them a 21st century tool to learn, to train. And this is something that they ask for, you know, how to deal in certain situations from school shootings to massacres to pulling people over. And it gives them added training that they've been asking for. And in addition, as you know, it also helps them, you know, get that personal touch with community. What is the best way to interact with people on the street? This whole system called VIRTRA, V-I-R-T-R-A, headquartered here in Arizona as well, are some of these state-of-the-art training systems to help our law enforcement officers do their job more effectively. And I want to thank you and Lucinda for coming to the press conference, for speaking at it. Of course, we had the chapter president of the NAACP. We had Colonel Milstead, director of DPS, Department of Public Safety. We had a lot of people, line officers and everybody speaking, and I think it's one of those great wins for Arizona. Arizona helping the country understand, well, there is a way. There is a way to fix some of these problems, and this is one of it, and we want to invest in it. And so, absolutely, we want to make sure our officers are safe, that they're respected, that they're allowed to do their job. But you also want to make sure that bridge to the community is alive and well, and people can come to them, you know, when they need help, and they can come to them, and they can answer questions that they got, and I think that system helps do that. And I know you are a big advocate of that as well, and I want to thank you for your help on that.
Hey, thank you so much, Steve. And just bringing up law enforcement, I want to throw out some statistics to you, Steve. As you know, me and my wife work very close with Chief Stahl here in our great community of Maricopa in the Maricopa Police Department. And what I had been reading stats in our own community, that is 48,000 people here in our community, and we have 66 officers in our community. What do you feel about that right there as far as the safety of our community of Maricopa and that small range of officers that support 48,000 people? What's your take on that?
Well, you know, that's one of those budget issues that states, counties, and cities have to face every year. I think where the help can come in a little bit. Of course, we always want to see an emboldened police force, just like, frankly, we don't want teacher shortages either. You know, we want people that help and contribute to our society to have all the tools that they need. Certainly, I think that the city and PDs can use more officers. But don't forget, you have the sheriff's office in there, too. So we have deputy sheriffs, that can help patrol our area, as well as DPS. You know, and so if we are running thin, I know our chiefs know that the sheriff's office and DPS is only a phone call away. We have great partners in the Gila River and the Akchin Indian communities, at least in our area, but certainly statewide, that they have their police forces as well. You know, so I think a couple things. Of course, we'd love to be able to see officers get all the resources that they're requesting, because it's very important. But at the same time, it's in budget constraints, if we can't quite give them everything, we need to rely on our other law enforcement partners, sheriff's office, DPS, Native American forces, to help augment some of our resources if we're lacking. So
that sounds great right there. And that's the whole point of working together and having them great relationships, as well as in law enforcement, as well as, like you said, teachers as well. And that's a great thing that we are moving forward now in our great state of Arizona. And we thank you once again for being one of the leading forces to make sure we stay safe and make sure our kids is getting educated and the teachers are making things happen within these classrooms. So we're very proud of that, and we're very proud of all the work that you do and have accomplished. And we're very honored to be working with you side by side in fighting this great fight out here in the state of Arizona and bridging the gap with law enforcement in our community. And where you see that going right there, Steve, far as with all the things that's been happening around the country, and then our great law enforcement here in Arizona communicating with the community?
Well, you know, like I said earlier, I think it's important that Arizona takes the lead on this nationwide, which we have. There was a great deal of media there when we were at our press conference event for this new training technology to help our law enforcement officers. I think you're going to see other states do the same. And so Arizona made a lot of news headlines the other month when we unveiled, hey, here's what we're doing. And Arizona is going to help lead the nation in solving this issue. And number one, keeping officers safe. And number two, bridging the community gap. And so I think we need to continue to do programs, like what we've been doing. We need to provide them with resources like this new technology that we've done. And I think Arizona is going to help lead our country in those solutions. And so, we need to keep doing it. And in light of some of our budget constraints in Arizona over the last few years, law enforcement officers are the only ones that got a pay raise. So all other state employees, no pay raise. And this year, the governor set forward, he wants to now offer teachers a 2% pay raise. And so you can see where we try to invest our money as a state. We want to try to let law enforcement and let teachers who live in that community, who deal with the students, and we want to let them know that we've got their back a little bit too. And even though times might be tight, and we're coming out of that old great recession that we keep hearing about, we still want to prioritize where we spend some of our money that we have. And we want to let law enforcement and teachers know how appreciated they are in our state. And that's exactly what we're doing in our budget.
And that sounds great, Steve. Well, Steve, I'm going to pass the mic over to my wife to ask you a few questions. And once again, thank you for being on the show. And it's an honor to have you on the show and also work with you as well.
Well, the honor is all mine. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks for coming on, Steve.
Of course.
Talking about VIRTRA, we, thanks to you, had the opportunity to go and tour their facilities and actually do some of the scenario trainings. And, it was really an eye-opener to be in the middle of a scene and somebody's waving a gun at you and you have that second to react. If you can't talk them down, what are you going to do? And very real life training, it really opened my eyes to a lot, as to why maybe the police officers shoot when they do, and different things like that. But I think that training right there is going to be really amazing for our police officers. It's more real life, and the 300 degree screens, it's just more real life. So
It is.
Congratulations.
Especially compared
on
to what they
that,
have now. Yeah. Well, thank you. And especially compared to what they train with now, a lot of it is like, those old Hogan Alley video games, right? I mean, the bad guy comes out, don't shoot, or shoot, and the good guy comes out, don't shoot. And so you're right. This is, they're immersed in this 300-degree scenario where everything is happening around you. They get to carry their real weapons that are modified to be able to work with the target. Or if they don't use their own personal weapons, they use, again, real weighted weapons that they would be using out, you know, on the street. So it's not like these plastic video game guns and whatnot.
Right.
And you're right. It's, you know, the scenario responds to their commands. So if they give a bad command, if they're maybe not interacting the way they should, you know, the scenario can go one way or it can go another. And they have a trainer there to help them and to pause it. No, if we would have done it this way, maybe we get results like this. And here's what happens if you do it that way. And so a lot of these officers love it because they don't get that kind of real experience other than on the street. And you know, we don't want them to be, you know, lab rats on the street. Well, gee, what's the best way to do it right now when you're in the moment, you know? And so, I'm glad you're able to go, and I'm glad that you liked it. I think it'll be a big help.
Yeah, it's nice. And so I know it's already in Tucson and Phoenix, and there's another place in Arizona, isn't there? Is there one up north?
Oh, yes. There's at least five locations now that they're placing it in geographic locations all over the state. And so that way you'll be able to have your PDs and your sheriff's office, whether you're in Yuma County or, you know, Navajo or Maricopa or Pinal, there's going to be a station near you. So when you want to try to do your training, there'll be one within your proximity. And so there might be some room in the budget to have a couple more this year, to add a couple more of these units on. But yes, they're dispersed all over the state now. So no matter where you are, if you're in law enforcement, you're going to be near one of these machines that you'll be able to go and experience and train on.
So it's not mandatory, is it, for training? But obviously, if you want the best for your officers, you want to get them there. But how is it paid for from, you know, like police departments to different departments? Do they have to cover that charge?
Well, so the state bought all the machines, which was over $2 million. And we have all those dispersed. And the only thing that your local law enforcement office, your PD or your sheriff's office, they'll just have to come in with somebody that from their office to train on the system. Now, we'll provide the trainer. Here's how the system works. Here's what you should be looking in for your officers. And then they teach them how to work the system. And then they would just come in and have access to the technology. So not too much out of pocket for the local PDs. It's mainly just getting one of their staffers up to actually just learn how to use the system. But once they do that, you know, that's everything else is covered for by the state.
Oh, that's nice. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good. Very good program. So we look forward to seeing how that works. You were also talking about the reform and transition from prison to society. What kind of, you know, I know we don't have a whole lot of them out there, and it's one of the things that a lot of us are trying to work on, but what is there in the works as far as transition homes or facilities for people to come out and be able to learn a skill or a trade or something to help them be able to get an apartment or a home and a job, a car, these things that they need to have to be able to succeed?
Yeah, well, certainly within the correctional system, DOC or whatnot, I mean, they'll have programs and opportunities for people to learn and better themselves while they're there. But the bill that I passed last year enabled early release on some of these nonviolent offenders, and helped them go directly into the rehab and career center. So not only do they get out early, but then they get to go to the center to actually, again, if there is something they need to rehab, that's available for them. But not only that, yes, an integration center back into society, job boards, offerings, all that there. And so this year in the governor's budget that we just saw come out the other day, he's got over $1.5 million set aside in the budget to help with some of these reintegration programs for people in prison. Namely, one that he really was impressed by, the governor met some, the governor was touring the state, and there was a fire, and he went down there, and And he saw these people put, you know, he saw this team go out and put out the fire. And when he started talking to them, he learned that there were convicts who signed up for the fire squad to go out and learn a skill and to go out and fight fires. And he says, mm-hmm. "Well, my gosh, what a great
yeah.
asset this is." And so he's pledging an additional $1.5 million to help fund these types of programs. So when you have inmates on the inside who say, "Well, gee, I'd really like to, you know, go do something like that, you know, or go be a hotshot, mm-hmm. or go be a firefighter, or go be this or this," you know. Well, now you have even more resources that the state is looking to put into those correctional facilities that you can have inmates say, "Hey, you know what? I really can turn my life around. I really can go get a job." And while they're an inmate, they can learn the tools. They go out, you know, and then when they're out, they're ready for a hire. Matter of fact, anytime anybody wants to come up to the state capitol at 1700 mm-hmm. West Washington Street in downtown Phoenix, you'll see a lot of convicts walking around in their orange jumpsuits mm-hmm. doing the landscaping, janitorial work. You'll see them. They build a lot of furniture, you know, at the Capitol. And so what we try to do is, hey, you know, there is life after prison. Let's learn you a trade. Let's get you a skill. I don't care if it's welding or landscaping or firefighting. Let's get you learning something so you don't come back here and you go and help society out there. And we try to do that as often as we can. And so, again, to wrap up, you'll see that the governor is really dedicating a lot of money into the prison system, again, for these types of activities. And that's what I think is going to help help some of these people get on the straight and narrow and get a good job.
So what about, you know, you come out with that felony record. Is there any way that we can get rid of that felony record? I mean, I know expungement is, they say it's there, but I think it's kind of hard for most people to be able to get rid of that since you've done your time and have that second chance with a clean slate. Because a lot of people, even if they hire you, you know, maybe with the you know, we don't have to check the box anymore or whatever, but they hire you and then they find out you're a felon or you, you know, whatever, and then they want to get rid of you. Is there any way that we can, you know, change that? I know it's hard.
Well, and again, that's kind of the program that I'm trying to work on, where to stop people before they go in that we talked about earlier, right? Which is,
mm-hmm.
hey, if we have a way of stopping that felony of even appearing on your record, well, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get you fixed. Let's get you back into rehab and let's get going. So that's exactly my intention with that. Now, you know, if you legitimately did a bad crime and you went to jail and, you know, and hey, I mean, sometimes you only can help people so much.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, you know, you do the crime, you got to do the time. I mean, we're not being soft on crime. There's just a different way to approach it, though. But because at the same time, we don't want people coming back if they don't have to. If we can rehab them and help them get a job, like through some of this funding effort that we're doing in our correctional system, if we can do those things, then maybe they don't come back. And if they don't come back, right, then, you know, everybody's better for it. And so that's what we're trying to do, accomplish in our budget, but also with the standalone bill that I'm doing to try to stop them before they even get in.
Right. Yeah, that's a good idea with the Vivitrol to, you know, be able to get people off that habit.
That's what we're trying to do.
Rehab that way. Yeah. So you're working on that bill currently?
That's right. Yep. We're about to introduce it probably next week, and we'll be having committee hearing on it probably the following week.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a great option for people. Yeah. You know, if they really want to change their life again, right?
Well, you can lead a horse to water, right? I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, you lead a horse to water, and we can't make them drink. So we can give them every opportunity. But some people, I guarantee you, sure as I'm sitting here, some people are gonna shake their head and say, nope. And they don't want to get better, you know, but hopefully some will sit back and go, you know what, what a gift, you know, I really do have a second chance. And if I really am serious about this, you know, the state's given me every opportunity I've got to change my life for the better. And so we're not going to force people to do it. It's going to be a decision that they're going to have to make, but we're going to give them every resource and every chance to make that decision.
Right.
Yeah, and then again, if you don't want to do the time, don't do the crime.
Right.
You know,
that's,
I mean,
right.
You have a choice before you even get to jail. Am I going to do
right
or wrong? And if you
and that's where
that
your
wrong
program
decision, you have to pay the consequences, because there's always a consequence, whether it's good or bad.
Well, of course, and that's where your program comes in too, especially with the outreach that you do. If you can help reach
mm-hmm.
people before they get to that point, well, then everybody's
right.
a winner for that. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And then for the ones that are in prison, you know, hopefully we can educate them enough to come out and make those changes that they need to make.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, we thank you for your support, you know, as always, and we look forward to continuing to work with you and a lot of great things.
Well, it's my
so
pleasure,
you.
And I want to thank you both. Thank you, and thank you both. And I'm here to help and keep up the great work.
All right.
Hey,
Boy,
thanks
there.
So much, Senator Steve. Yeah, I'm here. I want to say we thank you so much, Senator Steve, for dropping through and sharing that with the world. And keep moving forward like you always do. And we look forward to coming down, speaking at that committee, and moving forward with that to help people. And we appreciate you.
Well, thank you. God bless you, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would
you.
Have, a
have a
great
night,
Senator.
You
Take
too.
Care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're definitely in the building. We just got through speaking with our great Senator Steve Smith in District 11, and we're going to vibe with a little music, and we're going to keep moving forward. So we just want to thank him for sliding through, and me and my wife is very honored to be working with the senator. So let's keep moving forward. We got another half hour to go. Now we're going to get to the music.
I knew I had hit rock bottom when I started shooting up. That was my lowest point, because I just was like totally out of it. I wasn't even there no more. I was just gone. My name is Tanya. I am 15 years old. I am from Douglas, Arizona. I started using meth when I was 12. Basically, my life was totally destroyed. I mean, I had ran away from home, and so I didn't have nowhere to go. I wore the same clothes every day. Like, I only showered like maybe twice a week. I didn't have nothing left. I mean, nothing at all. I didn't even have no shoes on my feet. I thought I knew everything. I was like, you know, I'm not gonna get addicted to this drug. It's not gonna hurt me at all. I can control myself. But in the long run, it, you know, I couldn't control it. It's like meth controlled me.
Brought to you by the Arizona Meth Project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My heart was broken in a thousand pieces, about a thousand times on my knees. I look to the sky. On me, someone heavenly. Many nights I wish I could fly through the clouds so I can have a conversation with the Most High. Ask him, where's my girl? The one you made for me to have eternally. In my life, think I found my girl.
You're my angel, baby. You're just like a falling star.
What to do? Got an understanding that my past is my past, and you're trying to make it last with me. Go to the future, baby. You stay down, there's no babies. That's exactly what it's gonna be. Thank you.
get when it's so hard to make a dime. Indeed, I swore all the time, but you never ponder the wine.
Yes.
Just sitting back, patiently waiting on daddy to fly. On them G5 jets, first class flights to cloud nine.
Yeah.
With a Prada shoes and a Louis bag, Boussier looking fine. Listening like an angel, so bright she could blind. Any guy with 20/20, she must have fell out. God. I'm so high.
Yo, this your man T-Rob, the Quiet Giant, and you are listening to The Streets Don't Love You Back with Rob and Lucinda Boyd. We Global Blunt Entertainment Universal, baby. Don't forget that, you.
I look to the hills from where my help come from. Psalms 121. Thank you, Mother, for always teaching me that when times get rough.
I wonder how it feels to be the son of a preacher. We're living in a world with the hustlers and tweakers. What hand to hand says, avoiding them sales. But you was raised in the ghetto, so you was forced to live in hell. Oh well, never fail, cause one day I find my way out. So hopefully I can escape before the feds come and clean house. Penetrate doors, bat around the course, but it's too late to score. Now you're praying to the Lord, cause you know your heart is pure. You're just a victim of the Lord, of the neighborhood war. So you're mentally forced, physically remorse to the pain and the suffering. You're trying to make a choice to do better and move forward. Let's go. Yeah.
I look to the hills. I look to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills. Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. And in 2011, Robert D. Boyd Sr. died a great reverend, and his main goal was to sever ties with his junior son. And that's when Lil Rob found out about his brothers and the boy he had in prison, but he had never met them, cause two was doing life. And Sidney came home to an untimely demise after serving 18 years in the pen. Marvel and Christopher began on the right path, but you still need that man, so you don't be out prowling. Robbie did 17, it was all because of Wilder. Observe, you may be the preacher of the word, but if you leave your kids behind, it's just a whole lot of nerve. Word,
word,
Max.
I look to the hills. I look to the hills where my help comes from. I look to the hills.
Baby, are you down like you say you down?
Down, like you say you down.
Down, 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 down. It's all the love that you say you got real love.
Get it real.
Is it love, 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 love? Baby, are you down like you say you down?
Down like you say you down.
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 Down
like you say you down. Love like you say it's love.
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 Baby, are you still down?
Still down.
Or you gotta stay at home?
Not be down.
I don't really want to.
There's no other choice.
Cause I can never hold you.
Baby, are you still down?
Still down, mommy.
All you gotta say is go.
And I'll be down, mommy.
I don't really want to.
There's no other choice.
What's good, people? This is your R&B pop addiction, Deion Price, and I'm rocking with the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. My new single, Down, is available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and any other online store right now. Go get that. Are you down like you say you down?
Community, family, and protected dreams. These are the things that the Chris K. Hart Agency of American Family Insurance believes in. We all have dreams, and the Chris K. Hart Agency can partner with you and the people most important to help make those dreams become reality. Whether it's buying a home, starting a business, or protecting the ones you love most with life insurance. Let's dream fearlessly and reach for the stars.
Now, if you're in the Maricopa County, Phoenix metro area, you can call 602-235-0071. If you're in the Pinal County area, you can call 520-350-2500. And if you're trying to reach the American Family Insurance Agency online, go to www.chriskhallagency.com. Or you can go to ccahall@amfam.com. We keep it fam around here. Dream fearlessly. Yes. Greetings, my beautiful people. If you're looking to find a great deal on a new home or you're contemplating selling your current home, I had a perfect team for you at Home Smart Success. That's right, I said it. Home Smart Success, you dig? So if you need assistance, all you have to do is contact Mark or Carrie at Home Smart Success, and they will gladly take care of you, all right? And while you're at it, make sure you tell them the streets don't love you back, sitch. But like I said, make sure you contact Mark or Carrie at 602-799-7344. Or you can go to www.homebargainplanet.com. And if you need to search homes throughout Phoenix, Arizona, you can also go to www.homebargainplanet.com. Alright? Yeah.
Hey, are you looking for a new look and be fresh and hot at the same time? Well, my peeps, check out the Streets Don't Love You Back apparel. T-shirts, thermals, tank tops, sweatshirts, camisoles, hoodies, shorts, fitted caps, leggings, snapback caps, capris, jeans, beanies and scullies, backpacks, and much, much more. The Streets Don't Love You Back apparel for men, women, and children. Log on to www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com/page/store-1. That's www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com/page/store-1. The Streets Don't Love You Back apparel, a better way for a new look and be fresh.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the hottest show worldwide. We had a great show tonight with Senator Steve Smith. And if you have not joined our website or know about our organization, learn more at www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.com. Learn more about what me and my wife's organization doing with this prison reform and moving forward, helping many people as we can. So log on to our website, learn all what we do, and we look forward to hollering at you on Friday. Our Friday guest with Senator Catherine Miranda. So we'll be in the building on Friday, 7 p.m. Arizona time, 9 p.m. East Coast time. Peace and love. We out.